This recording, England 64, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Karma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who'd been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory, so she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and much more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot-and-mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Karma, Karma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Karma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Karma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure." I was born in Manchester in 1987, and both my parents come from that part of the country, and so I was there until the age of 5, at which point I moved to Hamburg, Germany, and I attended an international school there, so that's probably why my accent sounds a bit mixed up. Over the years it changed a lot. It went from being quite English, like Northern English, to quite American when my friend circle consisted mostly of Americans, and then back again when my friend circle changed again. My friends were from all over the place. I had friends from Palestine, from America, from quite a few from England, and many from Germany, obviously. And I think we probably brushed off quite a lot on each other. When I first moved to England and my accent was quite a bit stronger, a lot of people were quite confused as to why I should have such a strong accent, especially when most of my teachers at school came from England. But I think it's quite usual for international schools to kind of morph into this international accent, which is quite influenced by American, possibly due to influence from the media. So it was quite interesting to see their reaction to how I spoke at the time. So to me it sounds quite neutral in that it's quite a mix of things. I can't really place where it's from. And certain words do sound like they come from up north, whereas others sound influenced by obviously American speech, and then others again, my accent's becoming more southern the longer I live down south in England, which is where I am at the moment.